I did a testimony from my business point of view, and then kind of gave some personal thoughts about things that have encouraged me down to you. I'll hear some more, it's going to hear my same testimony.
I'm sure they won't mind.
Work background, I have a bachelor's degree in medical technology, and most people think I'm a nurse, but I am not a nurse. And what that means is when you have blood work drawn, and the person in the lab that does all your blood work is a medical technologist. And so that's what I did. We were the first people to know the department I worked in when somebody had leukemia. We were the first person to be aware of that. Sickle cell patients, we're able to pick up on that. And if somebody, another interesting fact, if somebody's been out of the country and came in the ER, like with high temperature, spiking high temperature, we could see if they had malaria by looking at their blood smear. But anyway, I also am board certified in hematology, so I mainly worked in hematology most of the 12 years that I worked, some in chemistry. When we moved to Mississippi, I worked at Central Lab at UMC for a couple years, and then I got tired of working nights and weekends and decided I was going to try to get another lab job there at UMC, and I worked at pediatric hematology oncology in the children's cancer clinic for a couple of years, and that's where I met Teresa, because Sissy was a patient of ours, and Sissy's claim to fame is the fact that she'd hide behind the door, and we'd have to pull her out from behind the door to stick her finger. She's grown up a lot since then, and as a nurse herself, and something that I never see her without seeing the miracle, and because I remember when. Greg talked about this in one of his sermons about me staying home and being a stay-at-home mom with our kids, and so I left UMC when Jade was about 3, and we lived at Brandon at the time. Greg was when we moved to Mississippi, Greg was Cross Gates Baptist Church first full-time youth minister. And so he was able to have that job. We moved to Mississippi not knowing a soul. We got married in 1985, and we got married in April, moved to Mississippi in September. And so that was quite a whirlwind, but you know, when you're young, you think of it as an adventure, and you don't worry about not knowing anybody. And but anyway, let me get my thoughts together. For me to stay home, as Greg mentioned in his sermon, we had to sell our house and move into apartments. So that's what our plans were. And then he was filled in at Cross Gates as interim pastor there for a while, and then we were called to Corinth for 5 years to Tate Baptist Church up there, and that's when I got interested in doing painting ceramics again. I did ceramics back in the 1980s, early 80s, when all the old-fashioned, what I call old-fashioned ceramics. How many of y'all have got those green Christmas trees? It's got the little plastic lights in it. I painted 3 of those at one time, don't you know. And I said, never again, I don't want any more Christmas trees. But I feel my mama's house was full of all that stuff. Figurines, and I painted every deer and duck known to man for my dad and all that sort of thing. When we moved to Corinth, Greg bought me a canister set that was painted by another artist, and I thought, you know, that is so cool. I've never seen all these pretty colors before, and I love color. You know, Greg always said that he'd never seen anybody get so excited over all different color construction paper. color, school supplies. Anybody like gets excited about stuff like that? Colored construction paper stacked up is just so cool. And so I kept thinking, I can do that. So I got my old brushes out from years ago, and the first thing I ever painted on was a mayonnaise jar. Like trying to do flowers and stuff. And so anyway, it took about 3 years to get all the kinks worked out, and I didn't make any of my greenware back then. I bought it at a ceramic store up there. And so a lady was in there one day when I was buying some stuff, and they were unloading the kiln and pulling out my stuff. And she said, "Well, I would love to have some of this stuff in my shop." She had a little tea room in Corinth, and then she had a little gift shop in the front of the tea room. And so that's how that kind of got started. And then I had about three patterns at the time, I think. And then we moved back down to Brookhaven, and it just got bigger and bigger. And I ended up with like 13 patterns and got them all copyrighted and everything. And so it was just... it was just crazy there for a while. I only had about, I guess, still about three stores at the time. But I wanted to always do something more inspirational. And so I started doing crosses, painting flowers and stuff on crosses and putting wire and beads on them, all this sort of thing. And one thing just led to another. And, well, backing up briefly, when I first started doing it, like I said, I was buying my greenware, but then I decided I was going to start pouring my own. And Pat's going to love this story. I told Greg, and I said, "I think I'm going to buy me some molds, because you take these plaster Paris molds and you pour this liquid slip in it, and it absorbs the..." Have you done ceramics before?
Yeah. I haven't done none.
But anyway, it absorbs the molds absorbs the water, and so when you open the mold, the molds will come in usually two or three pieces. You open it up, and there's your piece after it's been sitting for a while. And so I told him, I said, "I think I'm going to buy me a couple of molds." And he looked at me, and he said, "Really?" He said, "Are you sure you're ready for that?" And so when we moved down to Brookhaven, after about 400 moles later, I guess I was ready. And so that was quite a task keeping up with all that. And so anyway, I decided to do something different. And so I gave away all my moles. Pat got some of them. Ava Jane got some of them. And I wanted to start hand building my own pieces. And what I mean by that is rolling out the clay and then just hand building bowls and stuff. And so I was using a rolling pin to roll out. The clay comes in 25-pound bags. It's in 50 pounds in a box. And my kids tell me, of course, they haul it around for me. Scott said, "That's the heaviest 50 pounds I've ever picked up, because it's so dense." And I was rolling out with a rolling pin, and it was just killing my wrist. And so Ava Jane told me, she said, "Girl, you need a slab roller." I said, "What in the world is that?" She said, "It has rollers that you can just lay out the clay, cut the clay off, and lay it out between two pieces of canvas, and just roll it. It goes between the rollers, and you just roll it out." And I said, "Well, those things are expensive." And she said, "Quit being such a tightwad." And so she taught me into buying one, and that's the best thing I ever did. And so, because I wouldn't be able to do what I do now without it. But God used her to talk me into buying one, and had a since bought one, and I'm trying to encourage her to use hers.
I ever get
her shoulders in taken care of. And so, to show how God works through all this, my latest thing that I've done has all these bright colors with the glass and everything. And the story behind that was the lady that I buy my clay from, I buy like a ton at a time. It gets delivered by 18-wheeler. I go through about a ton of clay in about 3 or 4 months. But the lady before I started buying it by the pallet, she came by. She hadn't been in Brookhaven, and she came by my house and saw some broken pieces that I was just. I saved my broken pieces because I just play around with that stuff and kind of try new different things. She said, "I really like that. You need to do something with that." I said, "Oh, that's the ugliest thing I've ever seen." And she said, "No, you need to just keep working on that. Come on in, Bella. You just need to keep working on that." And so I tweaked the colors a little bit, and that's how my new color scheme kind of came out. And God just used her for me not to give up on what I was doing. The thing that I want to emphasize about what I do is it's really secondary to what God has called me to do, because it has given me so many opportunities to encourage people, to just share a word, encouraging word, and a story I told at Girlfriend's Cafe. Dolly Dawkins happened to ride with me one day to Jackson. I was making some deliveries, and so we were walked in a store, and the girl that owns it said, "I know your husband's a preacher. I just really need you to pray with me right now." I said, "Okay." And she said, I'm worried about my husband. I don't know about his salvation." And so I said, "Okay, Dolly, you look out for customers." And so I prayed with her right there, and then Dolly gave her some really good practical advice. And so it was just a really neat moment. And I thought, you know, that's why I do what I do. This is the whole purpose behind the whole thing. And so when we got in the car, Dolly said, "You know, that was really a divine appointment. That was so cool." And I said, "It sure was." Just the whole thing, just how God just orchestrated the whole thing. And it meant a lot to me. But going toward our personal side, you know, God works everything out for good to those that love Him. And sometimes we don't always see what the good is at the moment. And when I was growing up, my family had some challenges, a lot of challenges, especially when I was in my teens, and some things they had to deal with and work out. And my mom was such a rock. She was more of the spiritual leader in our house than my father. He was saved, but she took the lead role in, you know, encouraging us. And she had my sister and I singing when we were little bitty, just like Lydia and Lucy did when they were growing up. But anyway, she took the lead role in that. But she was such a rock through the whole thing, and she never gave up. And she always said, "You know, we're gonna get past this, and God's gonna work out the good." And I kept saying, "I don't see any good in this." Well, it took about 37 years later before I saw the good. And the reason I'm saying that is I was able to share with some other people that were going through a similar situation that, you know, this isn't the end of the world. And God's going to make a way. God is going to make a way. And we got through it, and you will get through it. And so that, in another instance, when Don Fisher died, my dad died 2 months before we got married. I wheeled him into surgery. He was having open heart surgery. I worked at the hospital, and so I was able to get back there in the back with him and wheeled him in the operating room. And they tried to do 6 bypasses on him, and they could not get him off the bypass machine. So he had had too much heart damage, and so this was 2 months before we got married. And so that was a pretty difficult time. And I have been able to use that testimony countless of times, because when Donna Fisher died, she died during surgery, and it was a heart procedure. And I can remember leaning up against the wall and just, I think, I'm reliving this all over again. This is like deja vu, you know. It's like, you know, how they call from the operating room and say, "Everything's going good, you know, we got him on bypass." And then the next thing you know, we're having a little trouble, you know, and I'm like, I am reliving this all over again. And then the next thing, you know, we can't get them off bypass. And so I remember just leaning up against the wall and sliding down the wall to the carpet and just crying. I thought, you know, I can tell Angie, I know exactly what you're going through. I can look her square in the eye and tell her, I know what you're going through. And that is how God has used all these events in my life to orchestrate what he has me doing now. I would never dream in a million years I'd been a pastor's wife, or I'd been in Mississippi, for that matter. You know, I knew of Jackson, but I certainly had never heard of Brookhaven, you know, when I was growing up and everything. But there just was a lot going on in my growing up years. We had a lot of deaths in our family. We lost 5 members within 5 years of my close circle of family members that I dealt with all the time. Spent a lot of time in the hospital. We had 2 funerals in 5 days. And so I have been able to use that testimony when people say, you know, I don't know, you know, how I can do this. I've been in this funeral home too many times. I said, well, I know exactly how you feel, what you're going through. And so God was preparing me through all these situations to encourage people that, you know, God can get you through. You know, he's got a plan and he'll make a way. Right now, back to the business side, I have 14 retailers right now, and I still do all the work by myself. And so that's quite a challenge, but it's been such a blessing, and the best part about my job is making my deliveries, because I get to talk to everybody. And that's been a lot of fun. But I just want to give God the glory for what he's done in that area. It's just, he has orchestrated the whole thing, and... like I said, I see the other side, the most important side of what I do, and it has just become very apparent and obvious when I get put in these situations. Like, man, I just, you know, God just opened that door right then and there. And I put on the when I do a signing, I put Psalm 61:2 on the back. And I tell people what it is. You know, when my heart is overwhelmed, take me to the rock that is higher than I. And that's one of my favorite Bible verses. I have it on my refrigerator. And speaking of that, I'm the type of person that I worry a lot. And it's in my genes. And I have to fight it every day of my life. And so a lot of times I keep scripture on index cards on my refrigerator. And that helps so much. You know, I've got, do not be anxious for anything. Anything is underlined, you know. My God will supply all your needs. Just be still and know that I am God. And I have to see that every day. And that is such a good constant reminder. So if you struggle with that issue, a lot of people do. That is just a good reminder. Sometimes I keep my Bible open on my kitchen table. Psalms 37, Psalm 46 is a great psalm to read of encouragement. And I was looking through my Bible this morning to find exactly what psalms I was going to refer to. And I had it all underlined and commented on and everything. But that is, Psalm 46 is a great psalm. But like I said, every time when I have left that on my kitchen table to... Every time I go by there, I'll read it again. And that has helped so much. Two things that I want to talk about, and I'm not going to take the whole time this morning. Two things in the last few years that has really changed my life I want to talk about. And one is when I'm working, and I work pretty much 6 days a week now that I've gotten so busy. I listen to Christian music all the time. I used to have the television on out in my shop listening to the news or whatever, but that is, listening to Christian music has changed my life as far as the encouraging aspect of it. There's always great stories on there. I listen to Caleb, but if you have, what's that, Pandora or whatever, you can find other music to listen, Christian music to listen to. It's music with a purpose. Music with a message, and music moves my soul. It speaks to my soul, and it just, there have been just days like the afternoon at Linda Monroe died was a tough afternoon, but the music that I listened to spoke to my heart, and it just encouraged me through just an example like that. The other thing that has really made a difference is the text messages that I send out every day. And I started doing it 4 years ago in February, and it started with one person that doesn't even go to this church, that was a friend of mine out in the community, and she was just really dealing with some hard stuff and into doing some hard, bad stuff. And just Satan had her just wrapped around his finger and was just, she was just heading in the wrong direction. So to try to keep her out of the ditch, and I just, that's mild. I'd just be telling her, God's got a plan for your life and this is not it, you're making things worse on yourself. And I told her, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you something inspirational from my quiet time in the morning. And so you read it, and I gave her a book, and she was just in a bad way. So anyway, that's how it started. And so then it caught on to my Sunday school class. And so I don't know if that's something y'all may want to do or what, but Jonna Blair and Denise Timms helped me with our Sunday school class. They took some names, and I had some other names, and they get my message from me, and then they forward it to the rest of the class. And so Sandra has a bunch that she does, and Mickey keeps me in check when I don't, if I accidentally don't send it out. When I have phone problems, that's when, when I don't, if it's 11 o'clock and you haven't gotten my message, it's because I've had phone problems, okay? And so I started putting it on Facebook, and so if you don't get that, you can get it off of Facebook. But anyway, now it's up to 115 people and about 20 emails every morning. So it takes a little while for it to all send. But that is just—it's changed my life, and the area that's changed my life, God has just worked in just some miraculous ways, just through something as simple as that. And like I said before, in Girlfriend's Cafe, it didn't have a thing to do with me. It's just all got to do with God and the power of His Word, and what He can do with something as simple as that. And two examples of that. Let me get my story straight here. One lady that, one of the stores, one of the retailers I have, she was an office manager there. And so I just happened to be talking one day. We were talking about the pottery, and I put a cross on every piece, and we just happened to be talking, she said something. I said, "Well, I'm gonna put you on my message list," and she said, "Oh, that'll be good." And so that went on for about a year, I guess. And so I get this call one afternoon, and the message for the day had been "The Anchor Holds in Spite of the Storm." A lot of times I use lyrics from songs, so if you ever see something in quotes, it's usually lyrics. But that old song, "The Anchor Holds in Spite of the Storm." Anyway, she called me on the phone. She said, "I have got to tell you this. I left my phone in the car when I went to work, and I didn't get your message till this afternoon. But 8 years ago, I had a baby that died of SIDS, and today was the day, the 8-year anniversary today. And I'd had a really bad day and was struggling at work even after 8 years, and people at work had sent me flowers and all this kind of stuff. I was just having a bad day." She said, "I got in the car and I read your text message." She said, "I just want you to know that's the song they played at his funeral. And I just needed to hear that today." And I thought, wow. And so I was in the van with Greg. I said, "You've got to hear this story." I said, "That is so God." That just, and then another time, this has been the most recent one, a lady messaged me, and she said, "I don't know who you are, but I know God sent you." And I thought, well, I thought you were so-and-so. But you know how when you get a, sometimes when you get a new phone, you get a new number? Well, I'm still, if that ever happens, please. please tell me what your number is. because, you know, of course, I was thinking it was somebody else, and it was, and she said, I don't know who you are, but God sent you at this time in my life, and I needed to hear that message today. And I thought, wow, that is so cool. That's how great our God is. And so I said, well, I'm so-and-so. I live in Brookhaven. Where do you live? She said, well, I live in Wesson. Well, she didn't know me from any, you know, she didn't know me at all. I didn't know her, but isn't that kind of cool? So that's how God has used that. That's how it's changed my life. It's just seeing instances like that and how he has worked through all of that. And that's just been a powerful thing. My main thing this morning is I just want to tell you, God will make a way. If you're going through a difficult time, and we all do at times, God will make a way. Amen. It may not be in our timetable, but he will make a way. And he has a plan. And just one of my favorite things about that reality, experiencing reality that we're doing now, my favorite thing, the first point was God's always at work. And just because you don't hear an answer does not mean he's not working. And I've told my kids this, you know, they're struggling with this or that. And I said, God's at work. He's at work. Just know he is at work. He's just not sitting back twiddling his thumbs watching all this go on. He is at work. And what's our role is to let him do the work. He's working in your life. He's working in your friend's life. He's working in circumstances we don't even know. And that has changed my perspective on problems. And how I look at problems, and I just try to remember, you know, God is at work. He is doing something. We may not know what it is, but He is has our best interest at heart. And what is our job? What is our job? Our job is to be faithful to Him. And what I mean by that, and I did this for a lot of years, just coming to church. Going through the motions. That's not going to cut it. It didn't cut it for me, and it won't cut it for you. How to stay focused on God. You got to be in God's Word, and you got to do it daily, because what's Satan going to be doing? He's going to be pushing your button. And he pushes my button, and he knows right where to hit me, and he knows right where to hit you. And to fight that, you've got to have some contact with God's Word every day. You got to be around God's people, coming to church, coming to Sunday school. For years and years, when I was in out of college, you know, I would just come to church, wouldn't come to Sunday school. And you get stuff from big church, but where you get it is being around God's people in a small group. That's really where it hits home, and how they can minister to you and you can minister to them. And so that's our role, is to be faithful to him. And I just want to say thank you for listening to me. And I love y'all. Y'all are great. And we're so blessed to be here. And y'all got any questions, I'll be glad to answer any questions.
I have a comment.
Yes, ma'am.
All that works. You have to make you a beautiful lady.
Oh, you're so sweet. You are so sweet. And,
I wrote her a note. Is that Brother Greg's wife?
I am the other half. Yes.
This is a work question.
Yes.
How far off are some of your retailers?
The farthest, and I got talked into this, I don't ship because it's, I don't have time. But I do to one store in Martin, Tennessee. She talked me into doing just by a series of events. She talked me into shipping it to her. Martin, Tennessee is the farthest one. But that's a lot of, I used to do that when I used to do a lot of candle holders. I had a candle man client, I don't know if you, it's kind of like wooden wax. Or wicks and sticks, Whitson's, you know what I'm talking about? Not Wooden Wax, but Whitson's. In the malls, remember? This was a Candleman. I had four of those, and I shipped candle holders to them all the time. And that, it about killed me, and I thought, I just can't do this. It's too back-breaking. So, mostly, I don't travel any farther than an hour. People meet me in Jackson. I go to Hattiesburg. Well, Angela, she's not here today. She hauls my stuff to Hattiesburg for me because she works over there. Goes in there every 2 weeks or so. And so, Hattiesburg, Laurel, Vicksburg, Senatobia, around Jackson, Clinton, Canton, etc.
Terry, would you tell us how you came up with the idea to support the India missions and how God blessed?
Oh, this was such a this was just a wild hair. I just love making stuff. And when I was growing up, I guess I got it from my mama. She taught school for 37 years. And so after all those bulletin boards I did for her. And doing her displays, you know, she had, you know, back, they had like, what do you call them, like a little reading corner and all this kind of stuff. She had all these little setups and she'd find displays in grocery stores and make it part of her. Anyway, so I got from my mom. That was days before the die-cut machines, though. You had to cut everything out. But anyway, I just love to make stuff. So I just got this wild hair, I thought. And I bought these earrings in Jackson that are real long. You know, the long, dangling ones are real in. And so I thought, I think I could like to maybe try to do that. And so... Oh, she's got on something.
I mean, I was in New Orleans for a bridal shower, and I could have gotten you probably 30 orders.
Oh my God! Well, anyway, it was such a wild hair. It was just really kind of crazy. I thought, well, you know, I'm gonna make some earrings for this garage sale. So I came up here with like 10 or 12 pair in a little box, and so I had gone home after. This was during the week, and so Teresa and Sunday, and they was buying them out of the box and stuff. And so I had to go home and make some more. So I ended up making 35 pair and sold them all. But it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
Well, word is out in town that you made these pretty earrings.
Oh, you're sweet. That's a God thing, too. That's a God thing. That's
a God. This is a pair. And they wanted to know, you know, I said, well, Terry, why not make some? So you may be getting some more orders.
Well, I took some in Grayville this week, but anyway.
Someone mentioned Zimbabwe. I was a missionary nurse in Zimbabwe, uh-huh. And I was wondering what they're talking about. Didn't someone mention
Zimbabwe?
Zimbabwe?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay, maybe
yeah.
Something else.
Yeah.
But how many things did you sell?
35 pair. It raised over $800. Isn't that crazy? That was the coolest thing, though. That was the coolest thing. That's a God thing. That's a God thing. I know I don't have time to make earrings, but I just like to do different stuff.
I want some earrings. I've already decided.
Oh, you're so funny. You're so funny. That's a God thing. Yes. Over $16,000. Isn't that cool?
Things we can put in, do it again.
That's right.
Our women on mission had garage sales before in the parking lot before, but it does so much better in the gym. Mm-hmm. We've never done that well on a garage sale. But we didn't, and we've never had all that furniture and printers and pianos and all that kind of stuff. That's pretty cool. Anybody else have any other questions? Thank y'all for all your encouragement, and y'all are just like my family, because I don't have any family here. But y'all been a big inspiration, and your children also.
Catch us up on the boys.
Do I know?
Catch us up on the boys.
Oh, okay. Jay is graduating Mississippi State in business, and he is working in a bank. He just got a promotion. He's working in a bank in Madison, and he's He's got about another year on his MBA at MC, and he'll be glad when he gets through with that. But he can only take one or two classes at a time, so you know it takes forever. Scott is at Mississippi State, and he's a junior civil engineering student, and right now he says he does not have a life. But he's done real well. He's done really well, and I think he's learned time management, and he had a great background at the high school with Phyllis and Lee and Peavy and all his math and science teachers, and so he's done really good. So he's looking for a job this summer in an engineering firm, trying to see what he wants to, you know, really wants, what he wants to do. So we got to pray about that. But God has been good. He's just been good. And I can't believe since June will be 15 years we've been. Isn't that not crazy?
What's the hardest thing about being a preacher's wife?
Well, seriously, I would say the spiritual warfare is pretty intense. And because I think when you're in the ministry, I think you have a big X target on yourself, and the Y's, I think, have it over their heart. And so you know, you learn to deal with criticism, but, you know, it's hurtful, and I think that's the hardest thing. And but I think God's made a way with that. You know, he's done that. You know, he's taken care of all that. My job is to stay focused and stay faithful to him. I don't have time to worry about anybody else. I got too many little peoples to worry about. That's what I call all my little people. I have big peoples and I have little peoples, like your kids are my little people. And so I have a late group that I message to, and some of your kids are on that group, and so that I can't send them. I don't send them out theirs out early in the morning. I try to wait till they get out of school. Anybody else got a question? Comment? Thank y'all for being at 17.
Thank you so much.
Love y'all.